see everyone out this morning. It's good to see so many in good health, be able to be out this morning, be able to come out and study God's Word as we have the opportunity to do so. As brought out, we announced about, we prayed about, talked about. There are just so much going on at this time and point, with sickness and illness going on, being passed from one person to another. Many who've chosen to stay home because of that. And we hope that all can stay healthy and those who are sick can get better soon. But with everything that's going on, I believe there are some in the world today that are going too far with what is taking place. That they have panicked and that they allow this worry and this anxiety of what might happen overtake them and cause them to make rash and bad decisions and be quick to jump at something rather than think soberly about the situation and turn to God for His aid. So I want to kind of talk about that this morning and just open our Bibles to see what it has to say. We get worried, we get afraid, we're paranoid, and understand that I'm not saying that we shouldn't take concern of what is at hand, of what is going on, that we shouldn't sit back and think about what we should be doing. And we'll look through the Word of God to see exactly what it has to say about these things and make sure that we are doing it correctly as Christians, as followers of God. So I ask that you open up your Bibles and follow along. Follow what I got going on here, buddy. You don't know? Alright, we'll get through the lesson even with the static if we have to. So, I ask that you open up your Bibles and follow. As we start off, I want to point out, the Word of God has a lot to say about not worrying, and I just want to look at a couple verses about it. That we are not to get caught up in stressing over everything in this world. In Proverbs chapter 12, and you read along with me here, and in verse 25, it says, anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression. The good word makes it glad. Here it says anxiety, the worries, and the constant worrying of things of this world can cause depression. This can cause someone to just get caught up in being so worried and shutting themselves down and shutting themselves away from everybody and cause depression. It can lead you that far. That we get caught up in just worrying about this and worrying about that. And we're not just talking about the sickness of this world, but we can get caught up, as Dathan talked about during the wars. There's been wars. There's constant worrying about what might happen with military. What if happens if we get attacked? What is this? And so we can get caught up in just being worried about everything. But as Christians, as followers of God, our trust is in God. Our trust is in Christ. Our hope and our treasures are in heaven. And so the things of this world shouldn't cause us to go down that road. In Luke chapter 12, turn on with me there. In Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 22. Luke chapter 12, and starting there in verse 22. It says, Then he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? Or as it brings out in ESV, which of you, being anxious, can add one single hour to your lifespan? It brings that point out. How far can you go by just worrying? By just being anxious? Who can add to their life by sitting at home and just worrying about everything and worrying that, just letting it drive you crazy? Who can do that? As you read further in verse 27, or verse 26, it says, if you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Is then God so clothes the grass which today is in the field, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven? How much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? See, it brings out here, it brings those questions out. Who can answer their life by just worrying? And if you can't do that, then why do we worry about everything else? And once again, the Word of God here is not telling us to count the costs and consider what we're going to have to do tomorrow and preparing. You know, there's a difference of preparing and panicking. We get caught up and we panic and we worry and we rush and we make rash and quick decisions. That's a difference than just preparing ourselves. Making sure that we've looked at what we have, look at what we need, what are we going to be doing, and preparing ourselves. We'll get further into that later on in the lesson. Here it's telling us not to get caught up in worrying. Why? Because God cares for you. He is our God. He says he takes care of this world. And once again, right now we can look out in the fields and, you know, you drive down certain fields, they're flooded, right? And you sit there and say, well, it's not being taken care of right now. He takes care of the fields, though. He makes sure that they get the water, the sun, and occasionally, yeah, they get too much. Just like right now, there's a lot of sickness going on. But overall, he is still there. Overall, he's still there for you. And, of course, our home and what we strive for, the ultimate goal that we'll get to is getting to heaven where we don't have these worries at all. Says, don't worry because God is there for us. And we've got to remember who our God is. We've got to remember God is over all. God is over all these things. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8, what does it say about our God? About Christ. It says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Who was, who is, and who is to come. This is the great Almighty. This is I am. Who was there in the before time and created all things. Who will be there in the end when it's all destroyed. Who is here today and now and with you. He is our God. And he is over everything. In Psalm 103, turn on with me there. The 103rd Psalm. Looking at verses 1 through 3 there. Psalm 103, starting in verse 1. Bless the Lord. O my soul and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity? Who heals all your diseases? And once again, we can look and open up your Bible, search the scriptures, and see how many sick people end up getting healed throughout the Word of God by God or his people. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35, we know that they came from everywhere to see our Lord just so that they could be healed, just so that their people could be healed. In Matthew chapter 9 and in verse 35, says, then Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. It says he was cleansing everything. There wasn't a sickness out there that he couldn't cure. The lepers would come to him to be cleansed. Those who were lame from birth, who had never walked a day in their lives and were already in their, old. And yet they're able to walk by and the apostles are able to heal such people and make them just stand up and start walking. That's who our God is. And so when we start considering what's going on in the world? And once again, this don't mean go be stupid and start doing things that are going to absolutely, positively going to get you sick. But put our trust in God. He can cure all diseases. Put our faith in the Lord. Study the Word of God. See that, you know, when the Apostle Paul and Peter, when they were going out performing miracles, you know, they were trying to get their sick just to be in the shadow of these men. And so when they walked by, the shadow would come over them and maybe they'd be healed. That's the power God has. Let our faith be in him. Let us turn to God in prayer. Because He is the God over all, over everything. Everything is in His control. We need to realize that. And so therefore it comes to that point of preparation. Not panic, but making sure we prepare ourselves. Because God expects us to prepare ourselves. He knows that's what you should do. And even considering becoming a Christian, He tells us that. That you need to prepare yourselves. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6 and starting and in verse 6. It says, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer, gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. So here, making it clear, making it point, look at the ant, how they prepare, how they gather, and make sure they're prepared for when the storm comes. They're prepared for when the winter's here, and they don't have food to go get. So we need to prepare ourselves. We need to make sure we're ready for when something comes. And once again, you look out, you watch the news, you go to the stores, that's not preparing to what people are panicking. They are panicking, they are going crazy, they are grabbing everything. There is a panic. There is a worry. Is our trust in God going to help us to overcome these things? We need to prepare and make sure we count the cost, look at the things we need. In Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Turn along with me there in verse 28. Luke 14, verse 28 says, for which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation, is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. For what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. We're going to count the cost. It says this is nature. This is what's natural. We look at what is going to take place, but if you just act offhand, and you just run over here, and you just grab what you first see in your sight, and then you go home, and you didn't grab what was actually needed. You didn't count the cost, and truly sit down and prepare yourself. Sit down and think about what's going to take place. Think about what's going to happen. Think where we're going to be at if this goes through. Instead of just letting the anxiety and the worries of this world overtaking us. God expects us to prepare. God understands that. He tells us to even count the cost before you choose to follow Christ. Understand, let us prepare for the worst case scenario. Worst case scenario, what's going on today? Say you do get this sickness. Say you get this virus. Say that they don't find a cure in time for you and that you do pass away. This is worst case scenario, man. Worst case scenario, family member gets it. Family member can't get better. Family member passes away from it. Worst case scenario, are you prepared for that? Are you prepared to meet God? In Hebrews chapter 10, in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 27, Hebrews 10, and in verse 27, it says, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fire indignation, which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy and testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy, who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant, which he has sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know whom said, vengeance is mine, I will pay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge the people. I'm going to go with these verses, not the exact verses I wanted. But we've all been appointed a time to die. Everybody's going to die once. And if you live long enough to see the end of the world, your physical body's no longer going to be. You're going to have a spiritual body after this. Some way change. Not 100% sure how. But you're no longer going to be flesh and bones. Things that can break. Things that can be cut open. That's not what we're going to be. I know that much because it's going to be an eternal body that can last forever. You may have the same form. Look the exact same way you do. That's going to be eternal. And I ask you, are you prepared for the day that you'll face judgment from God? Are you prepared for that? Because this is the worst case scenario of any of the times that we get caught up in worrying about what's going on in the world, about the sickness, about the wars, about a terrorist, about someone coming into the schools. Are we prepared? Have I prepared my kids? This is worst case scenario situation. And if we're prepared for this, that's going to help us with everything else. That's going to help us with our worries. In Matthew chapter 7, turn along with me there. Matthew chapter 7. Questions we can ask. Have we chose the right path? Matthew 7 and verse 13 says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way, which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Have we chose the right path? Have we found it? Have we got on it? Are we following? Are you following in the footsteps of Christ? Have you chosen to obey? Jump down a few verses to Matthew 7 and verse 21, where it says, not all who said, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but those who do, those who obey. So another question we ask ourselves, have you obeyed the word of God? Have you been baptized into Christ? Have you put on the Lord? This is preparing ourselves. This is how you make sure you're ready for whatever life throws at you. That you give yourself over to the Lord so that when you face Him and you sit in front of Him, and it's judgment day, that you don't have to hear these words that we read in verse 23. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. We do not want to hear those words. Once again, you can read to the rest of the chapter, starting in verse 24. Ask the question, have you built your house on the Lord Jesus Christ? It's a simple kid's song. Wise men built his house upon the rock. Foolish man built his house upon the sand. When the storm came, the wise man's house stood. So the question is, are you being wise or are you being foolish in what you're choosing today? Are you choosing to stay outside of Christ because the storm is here? Something might happen. You might get sick. You might get sick before they find a way to cure. You might get it back. That's the truth. It's a possibility. It can happen. We have to admit that. We have to acknowledge that. But if you are prepared to meet your God, it's going to ease your conscience. It's going to keep you from worrying so much because you're prepared for this day. Because you've given yourself over to the Lord and you've built your home in heaven. You've built your home in heaven. You're prepared for that day. And what we get when we're prepared this way, we know that Christ is with us always. We know that God is with us always. It was that first part of the last song we just sung, that He will always be there. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20. Matthew chapter 28 and in verse 20. As He sends His apostles out to go and preach the word, go and teach it. In verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age. Once again, you want to open up your Bibles, go through the Old Testament, read about the times they're about to go into battle. Read about the times they're about to be overtaken. Read about those times that God is with his people. He says, do not be afraid, I am with you. He tells that to Joshua. He tells that to Moses. He tells that to his people that are following him. So if we are in Christ and Christ is in us, we've been baptized and you have put Christ on. Let me tell you, the fears of this world start to fade away because Christ is leading you. Because you know he is there to take care of you. You know you have a home in heaven. This is how we prepare for all situations that we face. In Psalm 27, verse 1. 27th Psalm. I'm looking there at verse 1. So it says, the Lord is my life and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? So once again, it's not saying here that we're not going to take precautions of what sickness is out there. That you don't make sure you're prepared for whatever, and you don't have your insurance ready to go to the hospital. But it's come down to that point that you're not so scared that if it does happen, that you're worried of what will happen afterwards. That in worst case scenario, I'm going to a better place. I'm going to be like Lazarus who was laid at the bosom of Abraham. I'm going to be in paradise. And then I won't have to worry about this no more. And you know what? I've shined my light, I've set the good example, and I've tried to lead all those I could to the Lord also. So I know that they can be prepared and that they'll have others there to help lead them in the right direction. Are we prepared? The 116th Psalm, Psalm 116. In verse 1 says, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. We're going to go to him for all things. He's always going to be there. As long as I live, I'm going to call upon him. In James chapter 5 and verse 13, it says, if anyone among you is suffering, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful, let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick, let him call on the elders. Let them pray over him. And understand, I know we talk about spiritual sickness here, and we talk about, does it not apply to physicalness also? That we should go to God in prayer when we are suffering physical or spiritual. That he is the God to go to for all things. Because he is the God of everything. He created this world. He created you. He created the sea. He created the mountains. He created the galaxy, the stars, the suns, the moon. He's the Alpha and the Omega. If we're worried, pray. Let God ease your conscience. Let God take care of you. Go to your Lord. Make sure you're prepared for the worst case. If we're really unprepared, and everybody's running, make sure you got enough food, make sure you got enough this. But are we prepared for that worst case? I don't want to leave without extending that invitation to make sure that you are ready. Make sure that you are prepared for that. Because whether or not you get it today or not, whether or not you live through this and keep on going for another 30, 100 years, one day or another, you're going to face judgment. And you need to be prepared. So we extend that invitation to any who has not obeyed the gospel, to any who believe but and are ready to repent of their sins, to confess their faith, and to be baptized. So if you're here and you need to do that, we encourage you to do so. If you need the prayers of congregation, if you will let it be known as we stand and sing.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what a peace we are. Bible.